Great day, and welcome back, our Dear C supporters. Welcome to our globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministry. I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion, grounded in faith and honor of our fathers. We discuss various topics here related to supporting our communities in all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast and to donate because every little contribution helps. Okay, so you guys already know our ground rules. So we're not even going to delve into that today. We're going to jump right into our monthly healing podcast with a very, very special returning guest, Miss Stephanie E. Steuben, who helps people feel good enough in their lives through the work of Byron Katie. Welcome back, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me back, Jewel. I'm always enjoying those conversations, our conversations with, all kinds of subjects. It's really so enlightening.
Likewise, the honor and the pleasure is all of ours to have you here. We're hoping that this series will help our supporters heal pain, heartache, betrayal, and just disappointment they've had throughout their journey of healing. Stephanie, our supporters have been tuning in, and because of these issues that we discuss, they're so sensitive, and I think they hit so close to home. It's important for us to allow them to share their feelings and take an opportunity, as long as you guys need, to feel comfortable enough to share your commentary and your thoughts on these podcast series. I know it's very sensitive and, you know, we don't want to pressure you, but definitely feel free to call in, jump in, and share some of your feelings with us. What we discuss here is very much relevant to not just your lives, but to all of our lives. So I want to start today by discussing emotions and extending an olive branch, if you will, to anyone that has experienced deep wounds of betrayal and trauma. And we want to reassure you that your feelings of trauma and hurt are valid here. I know we may experience trauma at different stages of our life, often imposed onto us by unhealed individuals. So I hope this session both heals and gives you hope in the process. But that said, Stephanie, why do you think we don't allow ourselves to feel pain and hurt? And why do we have this feeling that we need to hide it?
So to start off, I want to mirror again or reiterate, like say again what you just said, because it's really so important with this, that, you know, everything that we feel, like absolutely everything that you feel is valid. It's a valid feeling. It's not always for the reasons we think that what we're feeling, this is what's happening. But the feeling and the experience that we have, that's totally valid. That what we see happening in our reality, that is valid. It's your real experience. And we shut things up because somebody else doesn't believe us or we stop trusting ourselves and we stop trusting our own perception. Like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. we're being told as children that you know, you don't feel like that, or like you don't, like, for example, just simple things like, you can't be hungry again. Like, heck, I am, you know, or like, you know, somebody says something bad to you and like, you shouldn't be hurt. Like, well, I am hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when, and so in this, in the society, like, you know, it's hard for people because none of us really are trained in compassion, really. So it's hard for us to see other people suffering and not be able to fix it. Right? So the first mm-hmm. Feeling, the first thing you want to do often is to say like, oh no, you know, if you just do that, it'll get better. So it's really, really important to acknowledge what's going on for ourselves as much as for others, you know, to go like, wow, that's scary. But you know, well, that must hurt. It's like, okay, I hear that you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, allow ourselves to experience it instead of just going like, no, can't be true. Move on. Because in that way, we start to distrust ourselves. And, you know, and then after that, you can totally say like, okay, so now what are we going to do with it? But it's really important to start with acknowledging to ourselves and to our children, to the people around us, oh, wow, that's what you're feeling. Wow, that's hard. You know, and often, like, even with people that experience severe trauma, like, you know, rape, being beaten, being abandoned by their family, haven't been to war, those kind of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're being told like that, you're okay. It's like, wow, that's hurtful, you know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and that can really create a feeling of isolation and of loneliness and of mistrust, and mistrusting not only the people around you, but yourself even.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whatever you feel at any moment, that's really valid. And these emotions are scary, right? They are really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no wonder that we often don't want to feel it again, or we're trying to shut it away. And if we haven't been really, really lucky to grow up in an environment where people are comfortable with their emotions and they're taught us that, then all of us to some degree try to hide it. We try to shut it away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're bringing it out again, like looking at it again, can feel even scarier, you know, because as we're not looking at those emotions, they actually get even scarier. Like, they really grow in the shadows, you know. They call it that, the shadow in psychological language, and that makes sense because it's really like when you're a child and you have that shadow under the bed you're scared of, and you know, when you're not looking at it, it gets scarier and scarier. If you have a torch and you can shine it under the bed, you can actually deal with it. Right? And then also just to always remember that there isn't any way that you can know what's best for others. And so the same goes for other people, because people will tell you all day long, you know, you just got to do this and you just got to do that. And you just got to get over it, you know, which when you're not ready to get over it, is just, you know, that's just so supremely not helpful.
Yeah.
But handing it over to God and asking for help, or asking someone else for help, you know, that's something that can help you bring the right person or the right process or the right path forward into your life. But, you know, it is still going to be scary to deal with emotions that we haven't wanted to look at, or that we have experienced and that were really scary. That's
mm-hmm.
always going to be scary stuff. What I've seen, and incredibly, the process that I use with people is the work of Byron Katie. And, you know, you're welcome, like everybody's welcome to look her up on the online. There's a lot of free resources. Everyone can just from the free resources online can learn how to, do this work on that by themselves. And, I went to the school for the work to learn to facilitate it. And at the school, I've been watching people face trauma, like honestly, really horrible things, and realize that they can bear the emotions, and B, that this really keeping it shut off and not looking at it makes it feel worse and worse and worse over time. But to become clear on those things and then working with the thoughts and the fears can really help people move past that fear and pain because you face it. And as I said, you know, you don't have to go to a therapist. You can do like the work. Honestly, there is so many free resources on her site, the work of Byron Katie. You know, you don't need anybody to do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's key, because I know that for a lot of us that may be a little bit hesitant to go to a psychiatrist or someone given these professional titles because they don't want to be labeled and they may not be certain if they can be fully trusted, to be honest.
Right.
There's other outlets like this that are available to you for self-healing. And that's one of the reasons why I reached out to Stephanie, because I think what she's doing is amazing, and it's done from a pure space, you know, where you don't have to worry about any intentions, because it's something you can do yourself as well. She just happened to go into a deeper dive with schooling on it. So I definitely want to encourage you guys to feel free to work with her. I vetted her out for you guys. So, you know, if you trust me, you can trust her. She definitely means well, and she's a beautiful human being. But, you know, Stephanie, you had just touched on fear and pain, and I'm going to turn it up a notch or two to hatred, right? I want to discuss a little bit about self-hate and hatred of others. Do you think that an unhealed version of oneself can lead to hatred?
I think honestly that is what is leading to hatred. Like, I don't think there is any other way. Because I think, you know, I think hatred is the most intense expression of fear. It's like, you know, when they talk about cornered rats, this is kind of the feeling that you get. It's like, okay, I will kill you if I just get the, you know, if I just get the chance, because I am, I don't have another way of dealing with this, right? And so hatred is like the furthest expression of that fear, like really trying to get somebody to never harm me again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, often that fear is coming from a traumatic situation, and it's about, like, you know, I don't want to ever have to do this again. Like anger, you know, anger is trying to defend yourself. Like, you know, if somebody pokes you often enough, you're going to get angry. So you're going to say, like, no, enough now, right?
Yeah.
And then if we feel blame, it wants to say, like, no, this is your fault. This has not been my fault. I have nothing to do with this. And then hatred is that we have to get to that step of not seeing that other person as human, as the same as us. Because now we can really hurt this other person. You know, like, that's what used to be the case between white people and black people. You can just, you know, you make them something else and then they can be used and hurt. Right? That's the mechanism. But really it is a form of defense, and it comes from being hurt initially. It comes from feeling insecure. It comes from feeling, you know, you're not good enough. You need to do this to the other person so that you can feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so of course, if you're hurt badly enough and it's not recognized, you have no way or no tools or no way for yourself to feel safe again, you know, you'll end up hating someone, or it's understandable, because it's, you know, what I said before, it's that attempt to just keep that person away, like, forever, even at the expense of, you know, killing them. It's the, Baron Katie says, it's, you know, our thoughts make us do things, basically. So you will act according to what you believe is to be true. So if you think that another person is standing in the way of you being safe, of you being happy, healthy, but mostly safe, you know, you can make that person inhuman enough to be okay with harming them. And so as long as you believe the thought that this person is the reason for you to not have a good life, to not feel safe, you know, at that point, it's understandable that this person is going to go out and try and hurt someone. And the hatred is the emotion that allows them to not see their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to condone it. It's just that, you know, the only way to really combat it in yourself and in others is really deep compassion. You know, that's our great spiritual teachers, Martin Luther King, Jesus Christ, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, right? You have to meet that hatred and that fear with compassion. You have to go, you know, wow, where is this coming from? Why are you feeling like that? Oh, I can see. Because, you know, the moment we meet it with that barrier, with the hatred, it just perpetuates. And it eats at your heart, because feeling that hatred is giving into that fear. Like, you know, you're no longer safe. And it'll reduce your ability to love. It'll reduce your ability to love yourself as well.
Absolutely. Wow, those are some excellent points, Stephanie. Thank you for breaking that down for us. Now, I want to discuss jealousy and unhealthy competition. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes, we may come into contact with someone we admire, but rather than identifying the admiration as a source of what draws them in, they create this unhealthy need to compete with that individual, where there's no competition. Do you follow me, Stephanie? Like, rather than appreciate the rare beauty of that individual, someone would feel compelled to compare themselves to them, and thereby creating a toxic environment for them and discrediting their accomplishments. In instances such as this, Stephanie, would you, what do you think would be the best approach for identifying the root cause of this behavior, and what response would be best given towards it?
Right. So that's, you know, that's one of those topics, Jewel, where there's just like a ton to unpack.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So the first piece of it, the first thing I would say is that, like, there's very few of us that are secure enough in ourselves to be free of that kind of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would say that's not even a personal achievement. Most of the time it isn't. A lot of the time it's, you know, you've had, again, like you've been lucky enough to come from an environment and you have been nurtured in a way that you feel secure enough in yourself to not need to compete with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a God-given quality. You know, you didn't choose that. You didn't make that mm-hmm. happen. So,
yeah.
The extent to which other people need to make themselves feel better by making you look worse.
Yeah.
Are situations that were put on them as well. They did not choose those situations to have learned that is good behavior. To have learned that is the only way they feel better. That was not a choice for them. So I think that's the first thing to understand is that, you know, where do people like this come from? So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like when you're faced with behavior like that, you know, you can call people out, you know, you can say to them like, hey, that's nasty. That's wrong. Why do you do that? And mm-hmm. because we feel attacked, often that is the first thing we do, right? Because mm-hmm. we feel right. It's like, right, like that is unfair. That was uncalled for. That is like, you know, why are you doing this? So that's calling out. But, you know, I'm just inviting everyone to just think of a moment when somebody turned around and said to you, that was wrong. What you just did, that was wrong. You know, having a finger pointed up at finger pointed at ourselves and having an accusation given that we're wrong, for most of us, we'll put up our defenses and we'll stop listening to everything else that's been said, and we'll feel hurt in turn, and we're definitely not going to change what we're doing because that was, you know, so even though you're right, you know, you might be right in calling someone out, it's not actually very helpful. So another thing that you can do is to call people in. And this is actually, you know, something that's going around with the diversity and inclusion movement now. It's like it's more about calling people in, asking questions. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, what did you mean? Like, you know, why are you saying that? Aiming to understand, aiming to connect rather than defend. Learning motivation, learning reasoning. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, for example, and don't get me wrong, this is not easy. This is an advanced skill. If somebody's shouting at you to start asking questions, is really advanced skill, you know, because you mm-hmm. have to, in that moment, you have to notice your emotion. You have to be secure enough in yourself to say, like, I hear that this guy is trying to put something on me, and I know it's not true. So mm-hmm. now can I get past this, you know, this reaction of feeling hurt and feeling attacked, and then can say, like, hey, what's going on for you? You know, like, for example, you know, there was this example of somebody calling at shouting at someone's child, like, this child's stolen things. You know, I know this child. And so not going into, you know, like, what do you mean? I know this is not true. How dare you, you know, say that? But rather go like, whoa, okay, I don't know my child like that. Why do you say that? And just noticing the difference of the energy that's coming, right?
Yeah.
It's a willingness to go like, okay, well, I hear you. I see you. I don't believe what you're saying, but I'm willing to listen to what you're thinking. And I think this is really what we really all need to practice, and so much this really so needs to become a skill level for us, because, you know, we are, as a humanity, we are so cruel to each other at times, right? So caustic, so unfeeling. And, you know, and it's always so my teacher, Byron Katie, she says, defense is the first act of war. And it's really, really radical. It's a really radical statement. Because what happens if this person says to me, you did that, and of course I'll say I didn't, and that's where the argument starts. What if the person says, you did this, and I say, wow, tell me more. Why do you think I did that? And that moment, the first shot went wide, didn't hit me. Right? So Katie says, you know, there's nothing somebody can say to me that I can't find. And this is, you know, I have used this work for 15 years now, to keep questioning what I think other people have done to me, or what I think, what makes me scared in this world, or what I think is wrong in this world. And, you know, like, if people, like, for example, somebody tells me I'm a murderer, I can find it because I eat meat, because I'm a veterinarian, I've killed any number of animals, you know? So it becomes not a thing that I have to defend against immediately. I can say, oh, I can find this, so tell me more. Why are you saying that? Because if I go there, I become, you know, they can't hurt me. They cannot hurt me. It's not the thing. And, you know, and it's just always to really understand that people will do the best they can. They will do the best they can, and sometimes, you know, the best they can looks horrendous, you know? Like, when we look at the wars in all the different countries, you know, we look at the beggars in the streets. We, you know, like, there are so many instances when we look at how people behave to each other, and sometimes the best that they can do looks really horrible. And when you go back to, like, how did these people get to that point? Like, for example, when you think, you know, like, taking the example of a hired person from the mafia who will sell drugs at the school, you know? I mean, that person most likely didn't walk out of a, you know, happy household with a secure family and good schooling and decide to go sell drugs. That's not where that person came from, you know? Like, often those people have a drug problem. So why did they have a drug problem? Because they came from a family where they didn't feel safe. Because the parents had drug problems. And why did they? Because, you know, so it's always going back and back and back. So the story of people that will engage in toxic behavior like that if you allow yourself to take like 3, 4, 5 steps back and look again and go like, okay, well, why is this person doing this? Where do they come from? Do they, you know, why is this thing that they're throwing at me honestly the best thing they can do? Why is that? You know, that is how you develop, how you train yourself in compassion, to see it, to go like, wow, yes, hard. This is hard. And if you're listening to this and you're someone, you know, who has been going through a lot and you're able to not act in those ways, you know, you're someone who like has come from a bad background and has gone through trauma and you're able to, you know, work for good in the world, or you just, you know, able to not be nasty and just live a normal, kind life, then, you know, count yourself lucky. Because, or count yourself, let's not call it lucky, let's call it blessed. Count yourself blessed.
Count yourself blessed. Yes.
You know, because it could have, like, any moment could have, you know, pulled the rug out from under your feet and you might have gone to that. Like, when I'm looking at, you know, why do people steal? Like, honestly, if we had a recession and I would lose my house and all of a sudden my kids don't have anything to eat, like, hell yeah, I'm going to steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm going to do my best to get good at it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I don't know if you guys realize, but I'm in total admiration of Ms. Lubin and the way she breaks down our feelings and our responses and even understanding others' behaviors and how to respond to that, as traumatic as it can be. She's just so insightful, just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so thankful to have her as part of our network here to help all of you guys.
Thank you, Jewel.
Especially, you are so welcome. I'm especially grateful for her joining us here today. She's a true master of her craft, and you know, she would like to invite all of you for a complimentary session with her. She does group and individual sessions, and I don't want you guys to think that it's one of those, you know, sit on your couch and let me tell my life story kind of thing. I mean, it can be to some extent, but the exercise in itself is far more deeper and just knowledge based of oneself than you can imagine. And I'll share a little bit with you guys. Go ahead, Ms. Lubin. Go ahead. You can
share first. You share first, and then I say what I wanted to say. I think that works better.
Okay. I was just going to share a little experience that I had with Ms. Lubin during our session. And you guys know that I am very transparent, at least as transparent as I can be with you all about my healing journey. And I recall I was running late, to our initial meeting. And, you know, I sent over a quick message to Ms. Lubin, letting her know, you know, I'm running late. I believe it was due to something I had to do with my children or so. And, you know, when we finally met up, on our call, I extended my apologies, and she was just so understanding. And, you know, she asked me this key question, which was, why do you feel the need to apologize? And, you know, I recall just pausing. You know, we were on this Zoom call, so she probably saw the blankness in my stare, like I've never been asked a question like that before. And I explained, you know, after that long, some people would refer to it as a pregnancy pause, I explained to her about the need to be over accountable and how it stemmed from some toxic work and family settings. And it was definitely like an aha moment for myself, because I didn't even realize that I was so compelled to explain and justify an urgent family matter repeatedly to her until she brought it to my attention, right? And, you know, I say that to say to all of you, right, that what I learned from just that opening experience was that we are not responsible for how others view us. And we are only responsible for our own healing and growth. So that was just, you know, a peekaboo moment into my session with her. And you know, I encourage you guys to sit with Ms. Luzin. I mean, she's just phenomenal. I'm going to pass over the mic to you, and you can share what it is you were going to say, Ms. Luzin.
I think what I wanted to just to add to what you said, that I am open to you know, to offer free 1 hour long sessions, and that, you know, that they are obviously completely confidential. I was actually going to say, well, we could maybe do a group call, but I think actually, yeah, just because you know, this work can sometimes be it can, you know, when we said right in the beginning, emotions can be scary, and sometimes this work can be scary, and I think it's actually better to learn the work in a one-on-one environment, like right in the beginning. Or, you know, because honestly, there are some things that come up that can be, you know, radical. Like this realization that, you know, Katie brought up and that I found true for myself is that defense is the first act of war. And first of all, you go like, no, you have to defend yourself. And then you have to look deeper. So, yeah, so I think offering people one-on-one sessions is potentially more helpful at this point. So there we go.
Mm-hmm.
And so okay. I think probably, you know, people can comment on the podcast for that, or get in touch with you, right? And you will give out my contact. Yeah,
I will definitely share the contact information to those of you interested in that session. And again, I encourage you guys, please, especially if you have, you know, some deep wounds that you just need to unravel and need someone that's non-judgmental to just talk you through it and, you know, help you through the journey. I highly, highly, highly recommend Stephanie, because it's not something where the finger is going to be pointed necessarily at you, like you should have done this, or you. It's more of just reflecting on the situation at large and the part you played, the part they played, and how you can grow from that situation, if you will. So definitely reach out to me if you're interested in that complimentary sessions. It's not very often people offer complimentary sessions, so you're welcome. and definitely take advantage. You know, we're thankful for Ms. Luzin supporting the ministry like this and helping out our community, because there is a lot of trauma and healing that needs to happen for all of us. And if you guys are anything like myself, I'm very, as you guys know, I'm very open, very transparent, empowering, and most importantly, truth-speaking. right? So we have to understand that there are some people that don't operate on those principles, and it's just not our job to fix it or fix them. But as Ms. Lubin explained earlier, we need to ask the questions so that we can get the answers and understanding, okay, if this is the best you can do, if this is the best you can bring to the table and it seems very subpar, accept it and grow from it and move on. You know, don't stay there in that box of trying to fix it, fix them, so right. to speak. And with that said, to all of you supporters, please continue to donate to our organization, either online at fundraisingcup.org or call directly at 615-205-5657. And again, you guys know I always promote my little side hustle as a travel agent, so definitely summer's here. Hit me up so I can book you your next getaway. I definitely like to take care of all of my customers. And with that said, I'm going to close out with a gem of experience to reflect on whenever you think of my podcast. And that is to remember every experience, good or bad, adds value like a jewel. Its true worth shines in the right light. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Ms. Lubin. And we look forward to our next healing session next month in July. Do you have any closing words you want to leave them with, Ms. Lubin?
An invitation really that anyone who would who found this helpful and has any questions to, you know, comment on the podcast with those questions and, you know, we can potentially talk about what people would like to hear talked about in the next podcast.
Sounds great. Until we meet again, take care, guys. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Okay. Bye.